like preaching me wicked.
Amen.
I hope you're not like that. I hope you're not wicked. I hope you like preaching. I've heard preachers say, and I guess I've been guilty, say I've never heard any preaching I didn't like. Well, I'm going to have to, I'm just honest with you, I have.
Amen.
I've heard some I didn't much care for. And I'm sure you have too, probably from me a number of times. I've heard myself preach sometimes. I went home and sat down in the chair and said to myself, what on heaven's name did I do? And that's the way it goes sometimes. And sometimes the Lord get in it and He'll help you, amen, and help the people. Let's stand together this morning as we read the Word of God together. And if you'll turn your Bible to the book of Psalms, I was reading there this week and the Lord spoke to my heart, and Lord willing, thank you, Brother Steve, I'll be preaching from this chapter this morning and tonight both, the Lord helping me. And Psalm 116 in the Bible. And we'll read a few verses from there, and then we'll try to preach a little bit on the thought God's given me. Psalm 116, verse 1. And the psalmist said, I love the Lord, because He hath heard my voice and my supplications, because He hath inclined His ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live.
Amen.
The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me. Return unto my rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee.
Amen.
For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Now may the Lord add His blessing to that. Let's go to Him in just a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful this morning for the privilege we have to be in the house of God. Thank You for a divine book written by a divine person for a people that is to be made holy by the grace of God. I thank You for the reality of heaven. I thank You for the truth of life and the truth of death. I thank You, Lord, for the promise that You've given us of eternal and everlasting life. Thank You for Thy people that are here today and for Your presence. I plead for the presence of Christ in this place, in the person of the Spirit of God. May the precious Holy Spirit of God breathe upon us in this place today. May the wind of heaven blow through this place. You said the wind bloweth where it listeth, wherever it desires. I pray that this would be Thy desire today, to blow through this place, helping the people of God and saving dear souls that are lost from a Christless eternity. I pray Your blessings upon the man of God as I stand to preach. May the Spirit of God fill me and anoint me, as Brother Smith preached on this morning, with that divine anointing oil. May You provide the liberty we need and the help. You're a present help in trouble. Bless me now that I might be a blessing, and we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to take our text this morning from verse number 7. Where the psalmist said there in 116 and verse 7, he said, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. And I want to try to preach for a little while this morning, if I may, on the thought, the haven of rest. I'm glad, thank God, we have a haven of rest. And we sang that song many times, a haven of rest. And in one part of it, it says, the haven of rest is my Lord. And I'm glad that we found rest in the Lord. You know, there are just numbers of people, and I say this often and preach it often because it's true. And if we'll ever get a hold of the truth of it and how it's affecting us, we'll find some help from the Lord in doing so. And the thing is this, that many of God's people today found themselves living in a life of real confusion. I'm afraid God's people today are in confusion and living in a real state of turmoil in their life. They seem to be in turmoil and practically all the time. There doesn't seem to be any stability, any settlement in the life of God's people today. It seems as though that nothing they do turns out right. Have you ever been there? That seems like everything that you go about to do, it turns out wrong. And we're living in that state of confusion, and we're living in that state of turmoil, and it could possibly be because we have strayed from that haven of rest. I'm satisfied that many of us today are not living where we used to live. That we've strayed from the everlasting arms of the Lord, and we found our place out in the world where we ought not to be. Or we found our life living in a type of life that we ought not to be living in. And that we have drifted from the Lord. I want to say, friend, if you set a little boat on the ocean shore, it's going to drift out into the waters if it doesn't have an anchor. And I'm afraid that many people today have lifted their anchor and they've strayed just a little too far from the shore. And in doing so, they have left that haven of rest that they found when they got saved by the grace of God. Now, I want to say this to you this morning. I talked to a preacher this morning, and he said he had been pastoring the same church for 30 years. Been pastoring basically the same people for 30 years. And he said, it's an absolute fact that our people are in worse spiritual shape today than they were 30 years ago when I started pastoring them. And there's only one conclusion to that, and that is that we're backslidden on God. Oh, I tell you, if we had ever realized just how far we have slidden back from the Lord, I believe, my friend, that it would awaken us and help us to make our way back to that haven of rest. I'm telling you, there is no safer place in the world than to be resting in the everlasting arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Listen here what David said, the sweet psalmist of Israel, in Psalm chapter 3 and verse number 5. He said, I laid me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. It sounds to me like that David had laid down with peace in his heart. It seems to me like David laid down realizing that the Lord was his protection and that he had great confidence that the Lord would wake him again. You know, I'm afraid there's people today that pillow their head at night and they really don't have the confidence in their heart that if they died with their head on that pillow, that they would wake up in the arms of Christ over on the other side of the river, my friend. And there's a whole lot of people that lay their head on the pillow tonight that are full of turmoil and chaos and confusion, and they're just not settled in the Lord. They're not steadfast in the Lord. And I'm going to tell you why, and I want you to hear what I'm saying. Money has got a hold on people today, buddy. Amen. We live in a money-sick society today that the name of the game is making money. You know what I heard? You know what I got this week? I got an email this week that tells me that our senators and our congressmen are not on Social Security. That's why they don't give a ragtag flip about voting measures and legislatures that will help us with our Social Security. You know what they do? They make up their own, they pass their own laws on how much retirement benefits they'll get when they get out of office. And they don't draw one dime of Social Security. A congressman that will spend two terms as in Congress will make more the rest of his life per month than most of us will draw in 10 years working and maybe drawing Social Security. The Bible said money is the root of all evil. And buddy, I'm telling you, it's coming to fruition in the hour that we're living in. Men have put money before God. I'd rather have money than I would have God. Amen. Come on in the house. I'd rather work on the Lord's day, or I'd rather work some other day and make money rather than being in the house of God. And I'm telling you, money has got a rope on the heart of God's people, drawing us out into some waters, ladies and gentlemen, that we're not going to be able to recover from if we're not careful. Now somebody say amen. Buddy, the world itself tugging on people. The world is very inviting today. It's very enticing. I've never seen so many Baptists that are trying to look like and act like the world more all the time. I'm glad that we've kind of hold the road tight and kept things pretty straight at Island Ford Baptist. But I'm telling you, it's not that way all the time. I had a preacher to call me the other day, Brother Steve can verify this. I'm almost ashamed to tell it. I'm not going to tell you who either one of the preachers was. But this preacher said, I heard that a friend of mine has got one of these MySpace.com deals, whatever they are, and said he's got some gross pictures on that thing. And he's an independent Baptist preacher. Said, I know them fellows down at the radio station can get on there and look. Said, would you just? He said, I've got to know I preach for this man. He has been a friend to me and I preach for him down through the years. And Brother Steve can verify this, friend. We went on that thing. I'm telling you, it was embarrassing. He had a picture of a woman on there, must have weighed 700 pounds, in a G-string and a halter top. And so help me, she was standing on the ground and had her belly laying on the tailgate of a pickup truck. And this guy is a Baptist preacher. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying people have drifted from the, come on now. People have drifted from that haven of rest, friend. And it's the world people want to act like, look like, talk like, and be like the world. I got word that a Baptist preacher that we all know, that his son participated in that thing they have every year, American Idol, whatever that is. I'm talking about a Baptist preacher's boy. Son, well, hey, we have strayed from the haven of rest. Return! That's what that Bible said. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. Return unto thy rest. Now I'm telling you, hey, we have left that place of rest in search of something that we cannot find. And it has caused us, ladies and gentlemen, confusion and turmoil. Amen. And we're living in an hour when every man is doing what sees right in his own eye. I don't know why I got off on that. I didn't intend to. Can you see the peace and the protection in that verse? In Psalm 4:8, David said, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For the Lord only maketh me to dwell in safety. Come on in the house. Again, the psalmist has no fear. He has no worry. But he dwells in great faith that an omnipotent God holds him securely and safely in his arms of mercy, strength, and love. Thank God, I'm glad today that I know I'm upheld by the strength of the Lord in His strong arm. Yes, sir, the strength of love and mercy and grace in a haven of rest. Praise God, I'm glad I found a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Thanks be unto God. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for salvation. Thank God for being born again. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the peace and the rest and the tranquility that He gives to you and I. Amen. Thank God. Now, listen carefully. Listen carefully. I want you to notice where the psalmist was. Look at when he strayed from this haven of rest. Look in verse number 3. He said, "The sorrows of death compass me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow." That's in verse number 3. That's because that he had strayed from that haven of rest that we find in verse 7. That's why he's crying out, "Return! Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee." Now notice where he was at. He found himself surrounded by death. Oh my! He said, "Death encompassed my soul." I'm going to tell you, friend, that's a bad place to be. You realize that there was no escape. No escape. No escape. Surrounded. He said, encompassed by death. And I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, a sinner that's out in sin, lost and without. And I'm going to preach to the saints, but I keep going to the lost. Now I'm telling you, a sinner that's out in sin is surrounded by death. If you're lost, there is no escape. But I also found out when he called unto the Lord. Hallelujah to God. That God inclined his ear unto his cry. And God lifted him out of that death that he was abiding in. Hallelujah. And brought him to the safe haven of rest in the everlasting arms of our God. Hallelujah. Surrounded by death. Notice secondly, he was seized by the pains of hell. That's what it says. And the pains of hell got hold upon me. I want to pause right there. This psalm is actually a psalm concerning the resurrection of our Lord. And that verse is speaking of his soul as he experienced your pain and my pain in hell.
Amen.
But the pains of hell seized upon him. Can you imagine? Somebody said, "Oh, I've not got that far away from God." No, but I'm telling you, it's a real possibility, ladies and gentlemen. It's a real possibility that the pains of hell, you can get so far from God that the pains of hell can seize upon you. Amen. I'm telling you, the pains of hell can invade your mind and your body and your soul. Amen. Is anybody listening? He experienced. And I'm going to tell you that the psalmist, I believe in reality, experienced what he thought was the pains of hell, the torments of hell in his soul, away from that haven of rest. Away from the Lord Jesus. Amen. Backslidden on God.
Amen.
Out in the fields of sin.
Amen.
Come on now, dabbling in sin and playing with sin. Now, I'm telling you, I'm afraid that's exactly where some of us are.
Amen.
That are members of Island Ford Baptist Church. We're a dabbling with sin and playing with sin. We're listening to the wrong music. We're running with the wrong crowd. Amen. We're going to the wrong places. We're dabbling in sin instead of dwelling upon those things that are conducive to our Christian life.
Amen.
That's right. Praise God. Somebody said, "I don't like that." Well, neither does the devil. That shows you what side you're on. Amen. I wanted to be sweet this morning, but y'all just sat there and looked at me. So I thought, well, I wasn't being sweet. And he seized by the faint hill. And notice this. It says, I found trouble and sorrow. He was sought by trouble and by sorrow. He found it. These things took place really during this man's life, the psalmist's life. He sought pain. He found sorrow and he found pain. May I say to you, and you know this, go back to your old life. And remember the sorrow. Amen. And remember the trouble that you had up there. Now I'm telling you, you don't have to look for trouble. Trouble knows how to find you. Amen. I was sitting in my house drinking a cup of coffee and reading my Bible on that Friday morning when Brother Steve called and said, "Preacher, we got problems." Well, I didn't think it was anything big. I said, "Well, what's going on?" He said, "The antennas burn up." I didn't go looking for that trouble. But I'm telling you, I found it, ladies and gentlemen. And you'll find enough trouble trying to do right. Much less what trouble you'll find when you stray from doing right. Come on now, somebody help me out. Amen. We ought to do everything that we know to do, that we can do, that is right in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. I'm going to tell you, this like... just like poor old Job. Job said, "I wasn't looking for trouble, but trouble found me." Amen. You'll find enough trouble living for God.
Amen.
Much less when our hearts grow cold. We back off of our convictions.
Amen.
We start to compromise. We start doing things we swore we'd never do.
Amen.
Come on now, laying out of the house of God. Looking for reasons to miss rather than reasons to be here.
Amen.
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 Now listen, that's where he was. But notice what he did in verse number 4. He said, "Then called I upon the name of the Lord. I beseech thee, deliver my soul." Now that word call means to seek a meeting. Come on now, somebody help me. Here is the psalmist away from that haven of rest. And he finds himself in a terrible situation. But he had enough sense to know that if he had called upon the Lord, said, "If I can just seek a meeting with God," do you realize that's what prayer is? I might as well go on and skin your hides. Ain't none of you going to sit there and smile. You know, you realize that's what prayer is meeting with God when he said, "I called upon the Lord." He said, "I sought a meeting with God." I had trouble, I had problems, I had pain, I had hurt, I had sorrow. And some of you here are living in all them sorrows and don't have enough spiritual sense to realize that there's a pipeline open to heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Where our hope is behind the veil in the presence of God.
Amen.
Are you listening, buddy? There's where the hope's at. When he realized that the pains of hell got hold upon him.
Amen.
When he realized that he found trouble and sorrow. When he realized he was encompassed by death. He said, "I called for a meeting with God. Let's set down and let us reason this thing out, Lord."
Amen.
Let me ask you something. When was the last time you sat down and reasoned things out with the Lord? When was the last time you really prayed? When was the last time you called on that lovely name that we sang about this morning? And you know without a doubt that the heavens opened and God inclined His ear. God heard your call and inclined His ear and intently listened to your plea. And by the grace of God, like the psalmist said, He delivered me.
Amen.
Thank God I'm glad that Jesus delivered.
Amen.
Amen. He delivered from sin And if he delivered from sin, he can deliver a saint from sorrow. Woo! Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Knows how to make the joy bells ring down in your heart.
Amen.
Jesus knows how to take that finger of grace and stick it into your little heart and strum on them strings and get you to singing again.
Amen.
He knows how to get you smiling again. He knows how to make you happy again.
Amen.
He knows how to get you faithful again. I'm telling you, he knows how to do it all. But you're going to have to call for a meeting with God.
Amen.
Amen. I got to hurry. I didn't mean to get tied up on this. Notice secondly now, he seeks a meeting with God. And then in verse number 4, the Bible said, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Deliver my soul. He pleads for immediate response. He said, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. That word beseech, that's a pretty strong word.
Amen.
I've heard people say, well, the Lord ain't going to help you right now. You know what that word beseech means? As now. In other words, he said, I am encompassed by death. The pains of hell has gotten hold upon me. I found sorrow and I found trouble. But hey, I called for a meeting with God. And I said, Lord, I don't need it tomorrow. Praise God, I beseech thee. I need it right now, Lord. Have you ever been in a place where you need it delivered now? Them three Hebrew boys walked into that fiery furnace. You know what? They didn't need deliverance next week, folks. They needed it right now. Amen. I guarantee you the pains of hell got hold upon them. They were full of sorrow and trouble. But I guarantee you when they hit that furnace, they was already crying out to God. And guess what? They called for a meeting with God. You ain't going to believe this in a million years. But guess what? They was four men loose and walking around in that fire. Praise God, they had a meeting while the fire was a burning. I'm telling you, God will meet with you while the fire is a burning to deliver your soul. Amen.
Amen.
As of right now, that's exactly what that means. Lord, I beseech thee, I need you now, not tomorrow, now.
Amen.
Somebody said, can he do that? Hey, he's a present help in trouble. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Amen. That's right. Mercy, I'm blowing bubbles. I'm Lawrence Welk. Now, stay right with me. Notice where he was, what he did, and what he learned. Verses 5 and 6. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. Hey, he learned something. While the pains of hell got hold upon him and encompassed with death and was found sorrow and trouble, he called on the Lord. And the Lord, he beseeched the Lord. He called for a meeting. And ask for a meeting right now. And guess what? God showed him favor. Because he turned right around and says, gracious is the Lord. Thanks be unto God. I'm telling you, some of you have underestimated the Lord and who he is. Thank God he is full of mercy and grace. The law was given to Moses, but grace and truth came by the Lord. Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, a lot of folks have forgotten just how much favor we have received of the Lord. I wish I'd have printed out that email Miss Hall sent me last night. It said 63% of all Americans are unsatisfied with life. They're unsatisfied with the war. You're unsatisfied with life. I'm going to tell you, I don't know who Jay Leno was, but Jay Leno was the guy that wrote it. And I wish I'd have printed it out and brought it to you. He said, we live in a country where we turn on lights and we've got lights every night. Our air conditioning works and our heat works. We live in a house that keeps us warm and cold. We got a roof overhead. And said we walk into a grocery store and see more food in 1 hour than this country of Drafar or Drafar sees in a year.
Amen.
We've got automobiles to drive to carry us where we want to go. We got freedom of religion. And he went on and on and on. He said, I'm wondering why 63% of America is unsatisfied right now. Why are you unsatisfied? Praise God, you got it better than you ever had it. God lifted you out of the pit. God saved you by His grace. Brought you out of hell. Amen. Brought you out of the horrible pit where the pain had gotten hold upon you and trouble circled you and death encompassed you. And God reached down with an omnipotent hand after your cry and lifted you out. Amen. And then put you in a country. The land of the free and the brave. And 63% of the infidels that live here are not satisfied with America. Best I can say, if they're not satisfied with it, hit the road, Jack, and don't come back no more. Amen. I'm going to say, it wouldn't have done for me to have been around the corner and them bunch of Arabs up there at Harvard or Yale, whatever school it was, burnt that American flag. If I'd have gotten my hands on them boys, they'd been alive. They'd have wished that God did never burn a flag. Amen. Their hind ends would have been burning.
Amen.
I'd cut me about a 10-foot switch, bless God, and I'd switched them.
Amen.
Somebody said, would you do that? You better believe it. I don't want no flag burners around me.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? I saw men shed blood. And I saw men die to keep our country free.
Amen.
It'll be a cold day in the boogeyman's house when I stand idle and let some rag-headed foreigner burn the flag that stands for freedom and truth that God has given us in America.
Amen.
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 Amen. And he said, God's given America all this. And most of them want to take God out of the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah.
Praise God, we ain't got it bad, we got it good.
Amen.
Things is going better than I thought. Benny shaved his mustache. Brother Jerome is appalled, and I'm applauded.
Amen.
The favor he found, gracious is the Lord. And then it says, listen to what it says. Gracious in the Lord and righteous. The psalmist learned that God will always do right.
Amen.
Woo! Oh, Dr. Bob, you say my stars fall from heaven, do right, because God will do right.
Amen.
You know what he said to Abraham? He said, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. And the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? You know what he said? Abraham said, Lord, be it far from thee that you'll destroy the righteous with the wicked. And Lord, be it far from thee that the wicked will be as the righteous. I mean, as the righteous will be as the wicked. Come on in the house on that. We're not to act like that crowd out there, buddy. Amen. The judge of all the earth, ladies and gentlemen, will do right. I got to thinking the other day, maybe I've backed up a little on WSOF. Fella just wrote down here a letter. Got one guy on a radio broadcast, and this guy just wrote down here and said, just writing to tell you I'm taking over so-and-so's radio broadcast. Brother Steve told me that. I said, is that right? He's just going to take it over. I got news for him. He ain't taking nothing over.
Amen.
But that's right, Brother Lee. We ain't working that way around here for him.
Amen.
You think I'm going to put some... And we've got some of them jackleggers on there that need to hit the road. I told Jacob this morning, I said, you got that poofed up hair, bless God, you look like Phil Kidd. Well, he got a little more than Phil's got. Come on in the house now. He learned that favor can be found. He learned that God will always do right. Now, here's a question. Will a righteous judge suffer the righteous to suffer with the world? The answer is no. Listen to what he said. The simple are the preserved and helped. Verse number 6. The simple are the preserved and helped. The Lord preserveth the simple.
Amen.
And that don't mean ignorant and stupid.
Amen.
That means lowly and meek and humble people.
Amen.
That God will preserve. Amen. Now, listen carefully. What are man's requirements for finding the haven of rest? I've just about got to the message. He said, retire!
Amen.
Come on in the house and listen, everybody. If we're going to return to where we ought to be with God, first thing, and I haven't preached this in a long time, we're going to have to repent.
Amen.
Oh, I'm telling you, but Baptists don't like that's a cuss word.
Amen.
Tell me to repent.
Amen.
Some of them said, well, repent means the same thing as believe. They better read their Bible. Repent means to turn.
Amen.
The psalmist said in another place, turn us again, O Lord,
amen,
and cause thy face to shine upon us, and we shall be saved. And I'm telling you, when you're where that psalmist was, you're away from God, and God's face is certainly not shining upon you. In fact, you've got your back to God.
Amen.
That crowd in Isaiah 1 went away backwards. That is, they drifted from God with their back to Him.
Amen.
God calling all the time, repent!
Amen.
Return, repent!
Amen.
People don't want to repent today.
Right.
They think they repent when they get on an altar and they never have to repent of nothing else. Salvation is a life of repentance.
Amen.
Over and over and over and over, repenting, turning from, and turning to.
Amen.
That's repentance.
Amen.
Now I wonder how many have really repented.
Amen.
Romans 2 and verse 4 said, despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?
Amen.
Now look here. I want you to listen. That tells me that there's a lot of stiff-necked people in this world and probably some in our church. If the goodness of God leads us to repentance, and God has been extremely good to some of you, and yet you've not repented.
Amen.
Problem.
Amen.
That tells me there's a stout heart there. If God's blessings on your life, God blesses us when we're wrong and we don't repent and run to God. Somebody said, oh, I'll lose something. I'll lose some money if I do that. You ain't never going to lose nothing doing right to God. I don't care who you are.
Amen.
Will the judge of all the earth do right? Yes.
Amen.
And He'll not do you wrong while you're doing Him right. Somebody said, you're rough. I ain't half as rough as I'm going to get one of these days.
Amen.
The goodness of God. That tells me that while we're in sin, God shows us goodness.
Amen.
While we're away from God and drifting farther all the time, God shows us goodness. Begging us, tugging on us,
amen,
pulling on us to try to lead us to a place of repentance in our life.
Amen.
And fellas, I love you. And if you want to bow up and run Brother Hall off, I've been here 19 years, I can say amen, if that's what you want to do. But I'm telling you, some of you laying out of church, some of the main men in the church, missing service after service after service after service. And I'm telling you, as your pastor, that God is not pleased with that.
Amen.
And I would look for something else to be in the house of God.
Amen.
I had a man here in town told Brother Steve and Brother Doug that scripture over in, I think, the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, where it talks about not forsaking assembling yourselves together, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. He said, that ain't talking about church. That's just talking about men getting together and women getting together occasionally and exhorting and helping one another. Well, it's strange to me, just a few verses above that, if you only use the context principle of Bible interpretation, he talked about having a high priest over the house of God.
Amen.
Come on in the... Yeah, come on in the house.
Amen.
Amen. Some folks need to repent. Some of you in here this morning need to repent. We're not going to have revival living like we're living. And I don't think we're living necessarily out in gross sin, but I'm going to tell you what we're doing will lead to. A cold heart will lead to sin somewhere down the line, ladies and gentlemen. Come on now. The goodness of deliverance in verse number 8. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Listen carefully. God delivered his soul. Delivered my soul from death, and I've got to hurry. God delivered his sobbing. My tears, he said. God delivered his broken heart. His sobbing, his grief, his sorrow, his heartache. Somebody said, oh, you don't understand what the kind of sorrow I'm living under. No, but he does. He can be touched with a feeling of our infirmities. God delivered him from his soul. God delivered his sobbing. God delivered his stumbling. He said, my feet from falling. God delivered him from his stumbling. What a gracious God we have. Listen carefully. And then this is the last point. He must return. Return unto thy rest. Once he repents and turns, you know what comes after turn? Return.
Amen.
You know what return means? Move in the opposite direction.
Amen.
It means it's practically the same thing as repent. Only it's got a destination in mind. Repentance not necessarily have a destination. Return has a destination. And the destination is to the haven of rest.
Amen.
May I use a few illustrations? That little old dove, when Noah, when that ark landed, by the way, Noah means rest. When that little old ark landed, Noah took that old blackbird and that little dove up and sent them out. And the Bible said the old blackbird stayed out there. You know why? He liked it out there in the muck and the stench.
Yeah.
And the corruption of all the deadness of the earth. He liked it out there in that. The old man likes it and enjoys it out there. But I'm going to tell you what that little old dove done. The Bible said, but the dove found no rest for his soul, for the sole of it, her foot. And she returned unto him into the ark. You know why?
Yeah.
She found no rest. And she returned to the ark. Now I'm telling you what, we've got folk here today that need to return to their rest. God help us. I beseech you by the mercies of God, the best I know how, return to your rest this morning. Come back to the haven of rest. Come back to Jesus, who is our haven of rest. Like Solomon said, return, O Shulamite, return! Mine, O Shulamite, that we may look upon thee. You know what that tells me? That tells me a returning sinner, God cleans him up all the way. Woo! We'll get to that after a while. That little old dove come flying back to the ark. Noah put out his finger. And that little old dove had been flying and flying and no doubt just patting its little wings and was tired and wore out and weak. He said, praise God, there ain't nothing out here. I'm headed back to that ark. Headed back to that ark. And there stood Noah. That little dove landed on Noah and he brought it back into the ark. And the dove found rest for the sole of her feet. Now, notice secondly, Hagar returned unto her mistress. The Bible said in Genesis 16:9, the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. She returned and submit thyself under her hands. May I say that there can be no rest unless we submit ourselves fully unto the Lord?
Amen.
Hagar returned and submitted to the will of Sarah. But she found rest in that submission. And folk, I'm telling you, we can find rest in that submission also. Full surrender to Christ.
Yeah.
We can't be happy in Jesus but one way. And that's trust and obey.
Amen.
That's all. May I say the prodigal son returned unto the father. There he was down in the hog pen, away from his place of rest. But the Bible said in Luke 15:17, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread and enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. And somebody said, well, did he return? He said, I will arise and go to my father.
Amen.
You better believe he did. You know what he found waiting for him? He didn't say, the father didn't say, you sorry egg-sucking devil, I know you've been out there and blowed it all. You're a rotten devil. You've got no place with me. Praise God, hit the road, Jack. He saw him a great way off and run and fell on his neck and kissed him. Hallelujah to God. Brought him in the house and got the ring and put on his finger and the best robe, put it around him. Got the best shoes he had and put them on his feet. Hallelujah to God. Called to his servant and said, slay the fatted calf for this, my son that was lost is found and he that was dead is alive. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Praise God. I'm not ready to get happy. Got any prodigals in here today?
Amen.
You think coming to Jesus is going to cost you humiliation and trouble? Oh no, the prodigal found that it was very rewarding.
Amen.
May I say that Jesus rewards every prodigal that returns to Him.
Amen.
I don't understand that. There's only one word for it, Brother Teague, and that's grace.
Amen.
That's the love of God.
Amen.
It's not. Some of you think, well, you preach mean. No, I don't. I love you. And I'm telling you, the Lord loves you. But sometimes, hey, you realize there's a place in Jeremiah where he talks about taking a hammer?
Amen.
You say you're mean. Praise God. Sometimes you got to take a hammer. Hammer's pretty hard instrument. And pop her on the heart pretty rough.
Amen.
It's in the book.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, the further we stray from Christ, the harder that hammer's going to have to come down.
Amen.
We get right with God, the sweet glory would roll. Now look here, the elder brother, he's the type of the flesh. You know what he done? He stood out and he would not come in. God showed me something on that. Everybody talks about how mean he was and he wouldn't come in. Well, you can apply it that way if you want to, but he was the elder brother, he's the type of the flesh. I'm going to tell you something, Brother Steve. When the father is doing business with the spiritual man, ain't no room for the flesh to come in. He couldn't have got in if he wanted to. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen right there. Praise God. Father was doing business with the son. And although he bidded the elders come in, he couldn't come in. Flesh has no place. I'm going to tell you what. When God turns up the fire, it's pretty... Let me put it this way. When God's people get in worship, the flesh has got to go.
Amen.
It'll have to go. I've got one more and I'm done. God wants us to return to the old path.
Amen.
Jeremiah 6:16, thus saith the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein.
Amen.
And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
The old paths. Old time religion. Brother Ronnie Sutton has got a series of messages he preaches on the old school. And I'm telling you, we're so far from the old school that it's really pathetic. There's times that I'm ashamed to even call myself a Christian. I'm serious.
Amen.
No more than I pray, and I know no more than you pray. There's times I'm ashamed to call myself a Christian. No more than I'm in the book.
Amen.
No more than I study. The worldliness has found a bed to rest in our souls, is destroying us.
Amen.
May God help us.
Amen.
To return. Return to that haven of rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor.
Amen.
And are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How about it today? We got any repenting, returning souls? That God has blessed you abundantly, and in those blessings, you have strayed further from God by the blessing than you have been drawn to God.
Amen.
Somebody said, "Well, I can't do this and that." God will make a way. God will make a way. If you want to.
Amen.
But if you think God is pleased with some of the ways we're living, He is not.
Amen.
He is not. Let's stand together.